Okay. This is a Traffic and Safety Commission meeting on November 18th, 2020. Chairman Reese?
Here.
Commissioner Gillis?
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Here.
Commissioner Jayaraman?
Here.
Commissioner Oska?
Here.
Commissioner Wade?
Here.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
First, before we get started, let me welcome Kim Hoyt to the commission, a new member of our commission. Kim, we'll give you a virtual hand.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And as I said before many others joined, I said we promised Kim that most agendas are short, but this is a long agenda tonight. So we will, as we get started, I'll let the public know that we have a number of things on the agenda tonight. We'll start by approving the minutes of the last meeting. And then we normally take public comment, but I think what we'll do is let's find out who is here to address maybe particular issues. And but why don't we start with, let me ask if anyone on the commission would like to make a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the January 15th meeting.
I can second that.
Okay, I'll take a quick vote. Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Bays? Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Jayaraman?
Yes.
Commissioner Oska?
Yes.
Commissioner Wade?
Yes.
Check.
Right, we have a number of items on the agenda, including a couple that were carryovers from our last meeting, one of which involves a request by the village for the Traffic and Safety Commission to review some proposed changes to the village's safe walking routes to school program. Let me stop there and just ask if there are any members of the public that are on the phone or on the Zoom tonight who wish to speak to that specific issue, the question of the safe walking routes to school. All right, hearing none, I guess I'd suggest that we hold that issue for later in the meeting in light of the fact that we have other folks from the public who are here on some of the other items. I know that I saw that Tyler Lamke is here and I think was here at the last meeting to discuss a proposal about stop signs on Oak Street. Any objection to moving to that issue?
No.
All right. Is it a Mr. Lamke?
Yeah.
Would you like to address your request?
Yeah, so I think last time we had talked about it, you know, Michael Maddock is on as well. He's also at the corner. I'm at the corner of Oak and William. Mike's at the corner of Monroe and Oak. I've currently been, you know, here for about 2 years, but my neighbors at Clinton and Oak, they've been there for almost 30 years and have kind of filled me in on you know, the progression of how things have, you know, kind of happened on Oak Street. And one of the things that, you know, after doing a little research, I think, you know, Jeff can probably speak to it a little bit, but, you know, there was some recent data that was collected on speeds and kind of traffic counts that happened out there. I also went back just not knowing a whole lot of the history, but it was mentioned on the last call about in 2019, there was, you know, a group of my neighbors. This is, you know, right when I moved in and I wasn't necessarily too aware of, I haven't met a whole lot of them at that point, but they had already brought the issue of speeding and you know, cut through on Oak Street and having that be a problem. And specifically it was addressed or discussed at Oak and Bonnie Bray, and KLOA had made some recommendations there. And I think what was ended up being done was just installing some crosswalks, but not really changing anything. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, if that was ever revisited and, you know, if that was successful or not. But generally, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, both Mike and I are just familiar with this area. And I think, you know, just a couple of statistics that I pulled out of the information and having a little bit of a background here in civil engineering and, you know, the actual traffic counts at Oak and Clinton are significantly higher than probably most intersections or secondary intersections within the River Forest area. So there's almost about 1,000 cars per day just in the one direction on Oak Street. And so that's something to keep in mind that, you know, there's, you know, when you get that significant of a car traffic, that, you know, it does warrant, you know, potential, you know, stop or, you know, intersection management. I think the statistic is usually about 200 cars per hour during peak hours is what warrants that. The other one is, you know, it picked up that, you know, typically it's about, you know, they measured, you know, that 3-week period measured about, again, about 15,000 cars. Average speed was, you know, slightly above the speed limit of 25, but, you know, the 85th percentile speed, which is what most traffic engineers kind of reference when they say, is that road effectively mitigated for, you know, and designed for the speed limit that's, you know, imposed upon it? You know, so that 85th percentile speed was 31 miles per hour, which is, you know, typically over kind of the acceptable boundary, which is, you know, plus or minus 5 miles per hour. So that's something to keep in mind as well on this. And then just kind of, you know, big picture, you know, one other thing I was also taking a look at on the safe routes for schools, you know, this stretch of from Bonnie Bray to essentially Jackson on Oak Avenue is the longest stretch, at least that I could find in all of River Forest, where there's no north-south crosswalks. So it's almost a quarter mile. So that's something to consider as well, is just, you know, I appreciate that, you know, that was specifically set up to, you know, get people to and from school. You know, it was just a fact that I kind of figured out as I was looking through, you know, the various things is that there's legitimately, you know, even though Oak and William, where I live, is a four-way stop, there's no north-south crosswalks. So it seems like Oak Street east-west is kind of set up for people to, again, you know, get off of Chicago Avenue, get off of Lake Street, make a cut through, which is what essentially is what it's, you know, turning out to be based on the, you know, kind of the unofficial traffic counts that were, you know, pulled by the police department's speed counters. And so, you know, it's something I think warrants either more study, or, you know, it does warrant some calming measures. I appreciate that obviously stop signs may or may not be the right answer. It looks like several other calming things were, you know, reviewed in the 2019 study at Oak and Bonnie Bray. There was pretty big resistance against doing the bump outs and other things like that, just because, you know, Oak Street's not significantly wider than any normal street, but it's heavily utilized in terms of, you know, east-west biking and jogging and things like that. And people felt that if you take that, you know, if you do those bump outs and things like that, you're going to put people in, you know, kind of the line of the cars coming through. So I think that's about all I want to say, but, you know, again, from what I took away from the data, and again, Jeff, you know, he obviously gathered and put that data together, but that was what I took away, is normally, you know, it looks like at other intersections where it's been measured, you know, you're getting about 300 or so cars a day, something like that, where this is, you know, upwards of almost 1,000. So something to consider.
Mike, do you have anything to add? Mike Maddock?
No, I think Tyler put it really well. You know, I don't have his background, but, you know, just from my observations over the 4 years that I've lived here, it's just seen a lot of cars driving very fast up and down the street. There's a natural kind of ridge to the street there, due to the way the sewer is situated, and, you know, you see a lot of of cars going too fast that, you know, you can see their, you know, suspension flex as they go over that. And there's been multiple accidents where cars have ended up in my neighbor's lawn and left the roadway. So, and like Tyler said, it does get a lot of pedestrian use, a lot of jogging, a lot of bike traffic too. So, you know, I know there were no stop signs at the intersection. I'm not sure when the first one went in, but just talking a lot with my neighbors, you know, everyone I've talked to has been very supportive of this initiative and, you know, potentially putting a stop sign or something to help kind of, you know, protect the pedestrians in the area. Nobody's been against it. Try to talk to as many people as I can. You know, even the people that have been there for so long, they used to say they used to have an accident there every weekend, once a weekend. And they put this one stop sign up and then it has helped. But, you know, I've seen multiple accidents in my 4 years that I've lived there that, you know, it kind of surprised me that how severe the accidents were. I wouldn't think in that kind of neighborhood setting, it would just be a fender bender with, you know, not really any visible damage and seeing people fill out police reports, but we've seen ambulances come and we've seen cars leaving the roadway. And that's just not something I think is normal. Thanks.
All right.
Let me... Sorry, and one more, if there's one more thing I forgot to also ask, and again, I know I've spouted out a lot of various things, but, you know, one other thought, I don't exactly know what the policy is on the, you know, the reduced speeds school zones, you know, and that was something else that I've noticed, again, you know, Mike's block, you know, between Monroe and Jackson obviously is, you know, the block next to Roosevelt Middle School, but, you know, does not have a reduced school zone. I'm not exactly sure what the policy is on where those are located, but, you know, just another thing to kind of point out in the area.
Question for either Tyler or Mike, is speed your primary concern?
I think it's speed and quantity is the other part as well. And I think that both were pointed out as, you know, issues. I mean, that, you know, while you don't want to say that, you know, pick the highest speed and say, oh my gosh, you know, that's terrible. You know, it looked like the highest speed was just about 50 miles an hour. You know, now granted on, there was a, you know, a study that I went back and took a look at when they were, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was, I can't remember, but when they looked at Chicago Avenue and putting in some of the traffic calming, you know, essentially what they were seeing was that, you know, the 85th percentile there was about, you know, something around like 35 miles an hour, so about 5 miles per hour more. And it had a significant, you know, volume of traffic on it, but you'd think even, you know, that the significant amount of traffic would slow people down a little bit, but, you know, it's, again, it's, it required that traffic calming, you know, to be implemented in a way that was effective to, you know, to try to slow that down. Unfortunately, we've been now the, I think, have gained some more people coming through on Oak Street because of that. But, you know, that's, so be it, I guess, right?
Are there other members of the public that are here to address this particular issue, the stop signs on Oak Street? Right. Why don't I turn it over to the commission, see if there are any members of the commission who either have questions or comments.
Well, I can get started, Doug. We've been looking at Oak and Quick. Well, I have been, as you guys know, for the last 15 years with this commission. And we've made a lot of changes. And the job of the Traffic and Safety Commission isn't necessarily.
Yeah.
Oh, question. What happens if they say, we can't talk? We can't talk.
Don't talk.
Okay.
Barb, you had to mute your phone or video for now, if you'd like.
All right, so I'll just quickly continue. I feel like we go into this issue every year, and then once we did the Safe Walk to School last year, I thought we were pretty much done with stop signs. But over the last 15 years, what the commission has done is added a lot of stop signs around town. And with that, you know, there's a lot of people that are for it. Our neighbor to the east does have a lot of stop signs, and we were kind of progressing in that way. But the other part of the commission is, you know, get through town without necessarily having to stop at every corner. So we looked at all these various corridors for many, many years. Again, I've been doing this for 15, and I'm probably a junior member on this commission. And this is what we ended up with. You know, we have a route to, and if you look across the village, it used to be you could go two blocks and stop in one way or the other. And that kind of how it was evolving. And then we got into the safe routes to school, and that added, I believe it was 72 stop signs, and this was last year. So with regard to Oak Street, and I appreciate you guys living here. You know, I think you said you've been here 2 years and 4 years. This has been an evolving thing for a long, long time. And the only thing that we can do now, which is essentially what you're asking, is put four-way stops at every corner, which I personally, you know, I'm against it. I think there are people that are for it all through the village, and they would just want traffic to be at a crawl, at a standstill. So with that being said, I'll let anybody else, the other commissioners, get on the call here. But yeah, this has evolved. I think it's working well. Especially with the safe routes to school, and that's my thoughts on Oak Street as a whole from Harlem to Lake.
I would like to add to what you're saying, John. In general, my feeling is I like the every other on the east-west streets, since they are half blocks. And that's kind of what we have now. To go every street, I mean, I live 24 years on Chicago and Jackson, and there are days when it's backed up from Harlem, I can't get out of my garage. We shut down Oak, and it's gonna be even worse. I think, like I said, in general, personally, I like to see every other on the east-west streets. So whether that would be on Oak Street or on Thomas or anywhere, that would be what I think is a reasonable amount of control without getting too heavy-handed, because I think as we see, the more you put in, the more people start to do the Hollywood stops, and they're not really stopping anyway. So that would be my two cents.
And Steve, this is Doug Reese. Just to elaborate on what Steve Wade just said, just for the benefit of the audience, you know, currently there's a four-way stop at Oak and Jackson, and then two-way stop on Oak and Monroe, with the north and south stopped, but east and west open, then a four-way stop at William. And then at Clinton, it's just the two stop signs stopping north and south traffic, and then four-way at Bonnie Bray. So it's essentially, although it tightens up a little bit as you get closer to Lathrop, and then you get to Harlem on the east, that's generally the lay of the land right now. Rick or Arun, anyone else?
I'll just concur. I agree with the other arbor. Every other street stop.
Whoa. Yeah, I think I agree with that. If it becomes too much of a, especially in that region where the street is pretty narrow, if you put it on continuous stop signs, then it just potentially allows for a backup.
Any other questions or comments from members of the commission? One thing, I don't know if Jeff, if you can elaborate, but it looks like you've collected some accident data. And is this accurate that at Monroe, at least with respect to reported accidents, there was an accident involving a person in May of 2020 at Oak and Monroe. And then the last accident before that was in September of 2017.
Yes. So this, you guys talked about this particular topic at the last meeting, and then subsequent to that meeting, you guys, or during that meeting, you had asked for just the raw data, at raw accident data at the intersection. So after that September meeting, I talked to the police department, pulled the data, and this is what we got. So yes, those three accidents that are represented on that. I apologize, that was not in the agenda. I sent it to you commissioners and to Mr. Lamke, but it didn't make it into the agenda. Those are the only three reported accidents that we seem to have in our.
And at Oak and Clinton, the most recent accident, at least accident, was in 2014.
Correct.
There was a reckless driving in 2020. And my favorite, in July of 2020, there's a report of rowdies. Otherwise, the last accident was in 2014.
Correct.
And as I think it was Tyler reported, we also have some data with respect to speed. The average speed appears to be at Oak and Clinton around the speed limit, 25 miles an hour. Although he's right, I mean, at the 85th percentile, it looks like we're getting closer to 30, 31 with a few outliers, you know, speeders. And at Oak and Monroe, the average speed is actually around 20, rounding up 24 miles an hour, with the 85th percentile around 28. So at least at Oak and Clinton, the speeds are within, you know, reasonable range, at least. Well, I think Tyler was correct with respect to at Oak and Clinton. The 85th percentile is a little bit higher, around 30. You know, generally, you know, we look at a number of factors, and including accidents, you know, us treating stop signs is primarily an important thing to really direct the flow of traffic and make sure people are clear at an intersection about who has the right of way. And we've historically not relied on stop signs to control speed. So Johan, I see that you joined. I don't know if you heard the discussion, but we're discussing the proposal for four-way stops at on Oak Street. So far, at least the members of the commission have not expressed support for the idea. But do you have any desire to comment on the proposal with respect to adding four-way stops at Oak and Monroe or Oak and Clinton?
Unfortunately, I didn't hear the discussion, so I'll abstain from discussion right now. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Reese.
So to Tyler and Mike, I mean, normally what we do is we hear discussion, and then and we'll do this on the other items on the agenda. If any member of the commission would like to make a motion to support a change, then we would vote on that motion, and then ultimately whatever we recommend at our meeting is non-binding, but it would go to the village board, and then the village board would decide. And so we can always have more discussion if there's a motion, but let me ask if any member of the commission would wishes to make a motion in support of the request for the four-way stops.
Okay, I'll make a motion to install a four-way stop at the intersection of Oak Avenue and Monroe Avenue, as well as Oak Avenue and Clinton Place.
All right, is there a second? All right, if there's not a second, the motion will fail for lack of a second.
I'm just watching.
All right. So, Rick, I don't hear a second to your motion. So I think that motion doesn't carry. And so Tyler and Mike, I guess, sorry to be the bearer of the bad news, but at least at this point, the commission's not inclined to support the idea of adding the requested four-way stops at the intersections of Oak and Clinton and Oak and Monroe. Not to say you can't try again or try to garner some more neighborhood support, or to come back. And if, for example, speed is an issue, I think one of you, maybe Tyler, had noted, this is an old issue in the village, and we've struggled with ways to control speed. But this could be a corridor where, especially with some of the 85th percentile speeds at Monroe, it would seem like maybe there's some warrant to considering in the future some kind of a speed calming device. So, but because of the lack of a second, I think that this issue is going to be at least denied at this point.
Okay. And then how would we, because that was going to be my other question, was just based on the speed data and because that part of, I'll be completely honest with you, that was part of it was, was the, hope that stop signs would slow people down. If there was a request, I don't have a specific of what a traffic calming is, but essentially, what was requested in 2019 at the, Bonnie Bray and Oak was, a review of how to essentially slow down traffic, which is what KLOA did and came up with, the idea of putting in the crosswalk, the crosswalks with the signs for the crosswalks to, get people to slow down. I think it still is a, warrants, review just with the, again, it appears to have about double the amount of traffic than any normal intersection or stretch of area, from what I could tell. And the speed is, somewhat above that 85th percentile acceptable range. So,
yeah, I don't know if some of these things have to be formalized at this meeting. I know that one of the things on our agenda tonight is looking at some of the other devices the village uses, including some of the, you've seen them, the flashing signs to monitor speed, whether any of those would be appropriate, say at Monroe, where the speeds seem to be a little higher. We could, I don't know, Jeff, if that's something, if anything like that could be done, without the need for any kind of a formal motion, if there's anything that, would there be an ability to try something like that? Or barring that, although I'm open to hear from other members of the commission, the recommendation would probably be if you wanted to request some particular kind of speed control device would be to probably make a, I hate to make you come back again, but to see if you got support for your neighbors and made a proposal and we put that on an agenda at a future meeting. But Jeff, do you, think about like the ability to be able to, what's our flexibility with respect to this like the speed signs?
So, sure. On some of the more temporary measures, stuff such as decoy police vehicles and the radar trailers that the police department puts out there, those temporary measures, that's something, I can talk to the police department about this week. If we're looking to, if there's a request to put in a more permanent, the speed, the radar, the feedback signs that you see on Thatcher and Lathrop, those more permanent measures, there's a price tag associated with those. And it's not like we have a bunch of them lying around ready to go up. So if that's the request or bump outs or whatever the case may be on a permanent basis, I think that would be something that staff and the board would prefer to go through the commission on a more formal basis, just so, it's the Traffic and Safety Commission. If we're going to start implementing permanent measures, I think it would be appropriate to kind of come back through you folks for an official opinion on that.
Well, I guess my reaction, and others can speak up, but at least as to Oak and Clinton, where at least the 85th percentile speeds are in the 30 miles an hour range. And, you know, with some of the, I wonder if we could at least put a temporary measure there for at least a while, and then let the neighbors decide if they want to come back and ask for something more. And then, you know, we'd have to decide if, you know, given the numbers on those streets compared to other streets, sort of where you, you know, where we're going to use our resources, if those, if that's an intersection that warrants something more permanent.
Yeah, and I'll make a note. I can certainly talk to the police department tomorrow about trying to get something out there, whether it be to pull for numbers or just get the radar trailers, which is a speed. It's a temporary measure, but it's a speed feedback thing that typically kind of slows vehicles down. So we can certainly do that on a short-term basis.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this before we move to the next item on the agenda? All right. Thanks, Tyler and Mike. Thank you for coming. And I guess I'll say, you know, sorry we couldn't be more helpful, but hopefully at least with some temporary measures, and perhaps in the future there may be something else that could be done with respect to speed, particularly at that intersection of Monroe. Why don't we move to the request by Mr. Is it Conmee?
Yes.
At 23 Keystone. And there are two parts to this request, but I guess why don't we hear you out and on both parts, and if there are others that want to speak to it, I will say to other people who want to speak to it, you know, this is an open meeting and we encourage people to speak. If you agree, you know, you don't have to repeat all the comments. Same thing if you disagree, but we do want to open it up and let people speak to this. So why don't we start with you, Mr. Conmee, and then we'll open it up to other folks, and then we'll let members of the commission raise any questions or comments about the request. I guess for now, I'll open it up to discuss both, but at some point it may make sense for us to divide these because they're two fairly different issues. You know, one of the requests is to impose a no entry sign on Keystone to not allow people to turn and proceed north on Keystone. And the other is to restrict some parking on Keystone. So they're, in my mind, at least, they're very different proposals that I think would probably merit separate discussion, but at least for now, why don't we open it up? And then, you know, maybe when we get down to actually discussing and whether we're going to make a recommendation with respect to either, I think we should probably break them down independently. So Mr. Conmee, do you want to start?
Well, I guess as the previous fellows did, I'll establish my bona fides. I've been in this house for almost 40 years. And I'm the third generation to live here. My grandparents moved down from North Dakota after World War I. And so we've been here ever since. My son and my godkids live here. And it's because of my godkids, grandkids rather, that this all started. My wife and I watch them every day. And so we're outside, and especially now with COVID, outside, staying away from indoor play for the kids. And it's brought out a lot more of the neighbors. And back Mother's Day weekend is when all the conversation on the block started because of the excessive parking that was occurring along the east side of Keystone off of Madison. It gets so backed up there with cars that if someone parks on the west side, it's now turned Keystone into a one-lane street. And Memorial Day weekend, there was at least one accident that the police responded to. And since then, there's been one or two others that the police haven't responded to because they've been little bumper dings and then people yelled at each other and moved on. So with all of that parking there, especially when it's delivery trucks and large semis making a delivery to Good Earth, it's virtually impossible to see traffic coming and for people to move in both directions. A lot of the people in the neighborhood up and down Keystone approached Good Earth and asked them, could you please stop parking there? You've got a big parking lot. You have parking on Madison. And pretty much the response was, no, we can park wherever we want. So it's sort of disappointing in terms of being good neighbors, but also there's actually no reason for that area to be used as a loading zone when there's the large parking lot that they have. The trucks could easily back in there as well. So it began to grow, and people up and down both the zero and the 100 block of Keystone in conversations. And those started because there's kids all up and down the street. I think the count was 35 children under high school age that live in those two blocks. And so people started saying, well, you know, this is really a regular route for trucks, delivery trucks and tradesmen and everything like that use the street. And could we some way just stop traffic from coming one way? And I reflect back in great history, and when all the streets at the north end, the northwest corner, were made one, do not enter, that, if any of you remember, was because of the drag racers coming from Skip and using those streets to drag race in the middle of the night. Anyway, the hope is that we could stop a lot of the traffic, make traffic easier for people coming off of Keystone, and to make it safer for all the kids. I think the one comment that I did want to make is that looking at all the data that was accumulated, I think it's sort of invalid given the reduction in traffic because of the virus and people not working anymore or working from home. And that if you wanted a good analysis of traffic volume, I would suggest that you look at last year when you all considered and then approved the no left turn onto Keystone. That traffic volume is much more representative of what goes on here outside of this small window of silliness.
Okay, thanks, John. Other members of the public who want to address this proposal?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, good evening to all of you. My name is Annette Chesney, and I'm the president of Keystone Crossing Condominiums, located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Madison and Keystone Avenue. Our building is across from the Good Earth and faces Madison. I represent its 10 unit owners. And our collective opinion regarding Mr. Conmee's proposal, agenda item number 6. First, I need to clarify something. If my name has been issued to the commission on his petition as support for his proposal, it should be considered null and void.
Whoa.
Yes, as I feel he deceptively represented the position to being one for restricting northbound traffic on Keystone from Madison Street. He provided no mention of parking concerns or restrictions to any parking on Keystone. I see his actions as deceptive, unneighborly, and lacking a community spirit. Regardless of my attitude towards Mr. Conmee's actions, a quick review of the means for traffic and parking control is warranted. We have a no left turn sign preventing northbound traffic onto Keystone from Madison, Monday to Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., 4 to 6 p.m. There are limits of 2-hour parking for both east and west sides of Keystone, and the signs for this restriction at the south end restrict that parking approximately 24 feet from the intersection of Madison and Keystone. They are easily and quickly viewable by any driver. Third, there is a fire hydrant on the west side of Keystone, approximately 12 feet from the respective intersection. The fire hydrant prevents parking any further south on the west side of Keystone, our side of Keystone, as the car would likely be ticketed for proximity to an intersection with a stop sign. These are the current measures in place offering a comprehensive means to control traffic and parking on Keystone Avenue. In discussing Mr. Comney's proposal with my owners, I would like to specifically address the no parking, stopping, and standing restriction. We strongly feel we are being denied our rights as tax-paying residents of River Forest to park legally on the west side of Keystone. There are times when an owner chooses to temporarily park his or her car on Keystone approximately parallel to the east side of our building. They should not be denied the freedom to do this. We have never had complaints from our closest neighbors, the Badanis at 6 Keystone and the Soras at 10 Keystone. It in no way compromises Mr. Comey's driveway or property. As an association, our building generates approximately $35,000 annually in property taxes. Mr. Comney's tax bill was about $12,600 last year. We are adamant that our ability to park on the west side of Keystone at the 00 address not be compromised. As for restricting further flow or additional flow of northbound traffic on Keystone Avenue, I need to hear more about it before I can have what I consider a valid opinion about it. So that is what I have to say. And I hope it is considered.
Jeff, you have to ask people to mute their microphones other than the people who are speaking.
That might be me, Mike, me, Arun. I was like scrolling with my mouse.
There's quite a few people who are, what that causes kind of echoing. So if everybody else who's not speaking, can we mute their microphones, that'd be great.
I might comment.
John, just before you do, sure. I believe I saw two separate petitions, one that was limited to the no entry and a separate one for the no stopping, standing, or parking.
Correct.
Right. So there were two separate petitions that I think are clearly denote what was requested. Can we, John, do you mind if we go to other members of the public first? Or?
Oh, no.
All right, does anyone else from the public want to comment on these requests? I'm going to mute my phone for the moment. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to address the request with respect to Keystone and Madison? All right. Then why don't we turn it over to the commission? Are there members of the commission who'd like to address these issues? And we could take either one of them or both.
Doug, I'll get started again.
All right, thanks, John.
This is another issue that has been evolving. I think 2 years ago, I wanted to bring the history up because I wanted to clarify with John about what's going on over there. It came to the commission about limiting access. Well, they wanted the 0-100 block of Keystone wanted to limit access, kind of like you do now, all day long. But I think what it came down to was this part-time restriction in turning on northbound on Keystone, traveling eastbound twice a day during the busy hours. John, this was not okayed and approved by the commission. That sign prohibiting access twice a day is only there because it then went upstairs to the trustees. So somebody must have known someone, and the trustees are the ones that voted this prohibition. The commission itself was against letting people come into River Forest on Keystone, twice a day. So let's clear that up. And then with regard to shutting down traffic and the parking, I appreciated Annette's clarification of actual parking restrictions that exist there with the no parking here to corner, the fire hydrant, so forth and so on. But my concern is closing down access. And with the Good Earth being, you know, a good neighbor and a valid business that also pays taxes in the village of River Forest, I mean, it's quite clear to me, and I only live two blocks north of there. So it's quite clear to me that the greenhouse on the west side is where they unload the shrubbery or whatever it is that they put in the greenhouse. And then on the other side, which is the large parking lot, is probably stuff for the store or smaller items. And of course it is parking for customers. So, you know, taking into account the business, the necessity of the business owner, and that business has been there for quite some time, maybe not as long as John, but that business has been there for quite some time. They need access. And in fact, I think during the warm months, the west side is at that driveway is actually an opening to the business as well. So with that, I'm sorry, I keep talking too much. But, you know, that's the brief history of what was going on Keystone. Commission was, well, the previous, I think there's a couple of new people on the commission now, but the access to Keystone was something that we didn't approve, but it went upstairs and somehow it got approved. So maybe that makes me prickly a little bit that I was overruled in some way or another. But with that being said, with regard to both of the requests, I'll just leave it at that and listen to the other commissioners if they have something to say, or if anybody else from the public showed up.
And other members of the commission?
Just a point of clarification for Ms. Chesney. Could you confirm or give us a better picture of parking for the condominiums? I assume that the Keystone parking is only part of that. Is there on-street parking? Is there alley parking? What's the parking situation for the condo? Okay.
I can very clearly tell you about that. We have three garages that are owned independently by owners. Okay. Then there is a lot on the west side of the building, and that is where the remainder of the owners each have one space. Okay. So we have our own parking. We're good. But sometimes people that live here will, if they, let's say they're running errands on a Saturday, and they happen to come southbound on Keystone and they live on that east side of the building, they will park there temporarily, come in, do whatever they need to do, go out to their car and, you know, continue with whatever they intend to do. We have never had a complaint. And again, I did not understand that this petition had anything to do with parking that might affect my owners. I feel that our rights would be taken from us. I feel that strongly. I hope that clarifies.
Johan, did that clarify for you?
Yes, thanks.
Any other questions or comments from members of the commission?
Yeah, I'll make a comment here.
Rick, I thought Kim wanted to say something. She's been trying a couple of times.
Who is that? Who is that? The run?
Kim.
I think your mic's muted, Kim.
Oh, Kim, you're muted, I think. Kim, your mic's muted.
It's not syncing with the laptop.
I was going to say, your laptop might be muted. You look like you're unmuted on Zoom, but the computer itself might be muted.
You see the right-hand-most corner of your laptop? You probably have it muted. She's like saying, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead, Kim. I'm not sure what's going on. We can see you, but we can't hear you.
That might be helpful.
You know, Kim, you may have to get out and then get back in.
Send the Geek Squad to Kim's house, and we'll go ahead. Rick.
Okay, I'll make a couple comments here. One, as far as the no left turn, even though it was kind of a separate thing, I'm in agreement. We did not think that was a good idea when it came to us before. They did get their no left turn sign there. And the problem is they're going somewhere else. And we got a bunch of emails today that Jeff had forwarded from other neighbors on Gale and some other streets that were making their comments that no left turn, everyone's going down to our street now. So their 30 kids were put at risk because of the Gale. Everyone's going down Gale, or what's the next street over? Park, I believe, right? So that aside, so I am against that. From a parking standpoint, I know, you know, as far as no stopping or standing, I do have to think somehow we need to work with Good Earth in order to allow them to get their deliveries. And that was the way it was designed, to have their entry there on the side. But question would be, you know, with the cars, and I drove down there today and there were a lot of cars, do we do a resident only parking there? And a resident only parking would prohibit any long-term parking from, if you will, the Good Earth employees. They would have to find a different place to move to, but the residents who live on Keystone and the residents in the condominium would be able to park on that street, as well as customers who live in River Forest going to Good Earth. So that's something we could consider there as far as a parking restriction.
Mm-hmm. Kim, I see you're back on. Did you want to speak?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Perfect.
Okay, I just had a procedural question. There were a couple of public comments that were sent to us by email related to this topic. Are those normally read during this part of the discussion?
Procedural?
Certainly read them in if you want. I don't know that they need to be. I don't know if they're required to. Those just came in today, so I wanted to make sure they got in your hands before the meeting started. If you'd like, I'm more than happy to read them out loud.
I just didn't know if they were addressed publicly as part of the meeting, or if we read them all ourselves.
Jeff, Kim, is it okay with you, Jeff, if you just summarize the kind of the bottom line for each of those, and then, because otherwise they are, I think, in the record, but
yeah,
I think Rick did that, right? He kind of summarized
the that. Public comment was that I think four or five folks that reached out to us were against this for one reason or another. We're asking that, you know, either the parking restriction not be imposed, or more than that, that the do not enter not be imposed to allow residents in that area access off of Madison Street. That was the gist of those comments.
Kim, is that okay?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. Jeff, can you clarify the current parking restrictions or the status of parking at the south end of Keystone right now? Because on one of the graphics we have, I don't know if the red bars are indicating the proposal or the existing. Right now, for example, between Madison and that driveway on the east side, is there a parking restriction on that section of Keystone between Madison and that first drive going into Good Earth, if you will, on the east side?
There is a sign there, no parking here at a corner on the east side. That's not in the ordinance. Typically when we have no parking zones that are, you know, of any substantial length, it's by ordinance. This particular one, it's, I think it's actually a state statute within, I think it's 20 feet of a crosswalk. Universally, there's no parking. So the signage that was installed on the east side of Keystone there was really just to formalize that and make it a little more obvious for anybody kind of stopping off real quick to try to run in there. Yes, there is a restriction. I think it's, like I said, I think it's just 20 feet north of the sidewalk there. The west side, as Ms. Chesney pointed out, there is a hydrant there. I believe that requirement is 15 feet on either side of a hydrant. You're not allowed to park. So there is to some degree, you know, zone, no parking down there in the 20 to 30 foot. The red bars that I put on the exhibit in the agenda packet are the proposed. Those are kind of rough limits of what's being requested by Mr. Conmee.
But of what's
and let me add to that. Doug, let me just add to that. Interestingly, I went down there today and there is 1 2-hour parking on the east side of the street towards the end of, if you will, Good Earth's property, but it didn't continue down the entire block. It was just one single sign right there at the towards the end of their property. And again, Jeff, it probably is not even in your records that sign's there.
No, I think it is. Bear with me. I'm pulling up our parking map here. Keystone. Yeah, to your point, it does not look like it's. I take that back. So yes, the 2-hour parking zone is shown here, which means it's in our ordinance. And yes, it does go just past the Good Earth Greenhouse property there. So we've got the zone of no parking, and then where the parking does start, it's a 2-hour limit, which I assume was installed at the time of Good Earth going in to kind of prevent any long-term parking down there and kind of just designating that for customers.
So Jeff, to clarify, just to be, or make sure I'm clear, I guess. So approximately 20 feet up from the corner from the sidewalk is no parking just by regular state law. Whether it's clearly marked may be a separate question. And then it's 2-hour parking north of that but with only one sign. Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct. And the zones that we show on our parking map here, I'd have to dig into the ordinance for full limits, but the zones that we show, basically that 2-hour zone goes halfway up the first residential property past the greenhouse, if that makes sense.
So is that approximately where lines up with where the red bar is on the document? Or is a little, goes a little farther than that?
It goes a little bit further than that, yes.
Okay.
The 100-foot that's in the request is basically the width of the Good Earth property.
Okay, got it. Anyone else on the commission?
Yeah, I'd like to. I live on one block further north of that on Vine and Keystone. So I do agree with John that with parking for Good Earth and the drop-off or the product drop-off trucks there, it kind of creates a bottleneck for traffic, especially if cars are turning in from Madison into Keystone and cars are going from Keystone towards Madison with parking on both sides. It sometimes causes you to be lined up, and I've noticed a couple of times people hit somebody's mirror or something with their car because it gets narrow if two cars are parked on both sides and cars are trying to come in and out. I do agree with the others in the commission that limiting entry point is not fair because it's going to increase traffic on the other streets, even though personally that'd be good for me. I don't think for the village that makes sense because as in the letter sent by others, the community center has a lot of traffic. Just by closing off Keystone, we're going to have that side get way more traffic. And if you already notice, it's pretty much packed in the morning with people dropping off their children and in the evenings too. And there's other activities on the community center. Same way on Park, given the other entry for Good Earth and the condos there, the townhouses, it won't be fair for them. But as far as restricting parking, I think it'd be appropriate to discuss something which is fair. As John and others do mention, we should allow the condominiums on Keystone to be able to park. But again, sometimes even though there's restrictions, people coming to Good Earth just tend to leave their cars anywhere and everywhere. And so it would be nice if some kind of parking restriction is there for at least the people of the village, so that it limits people from outside the village trying to come to Good Earth, either park on Madison or in the parking lot, which is quite big enough. And I walk the dog there a lot of times. It's not full. It's not like there's no lack of spots on that parking lot. There is spots in the indoor parking lot there, not indoor, the ones which belongs to them. It's more that with the big trucks, it is a mess. So I don't know what the appropriate strategy is, but some restriction in parking at least would be appropriate.
Thanks, Arun. Any other comments from members of the commission?
I think Arun brings up a really good point. And I just wanted to add to the point of the parking restrictions on Keystone on the side, east side, I guess, closest to the business. I look at that probably as more of a loading zone, because I think probably the clientele of the Good Earth come from all over the place. So we're not doing Good Earth any good by restricting parking in what essentially is most likely a loading zone for that business. They're probably pulling up, loading in a Christmas tree, perennials, whatever. You want to throw in there. So if I'm just trying to add on to Arun's comments, but also clarify that, boy, if we did residential parking there, then Good Earth is going to have a really big issue with their business in general, that their clients, customers can't even pull up legally and pick up their plants. So before we go saving the earth again here, there was a letter, I believe, from the owner of Good Earth, and I wish that the owner was here to explain this better to us or be a good advocate for her business, because I don't want to seem like I'm advocating for that. I'm just trying to think through the issue, and that's probably why the two-hour parking was put there to begin with, so customers were not affected. There wouldn't be a load up of parking that were residents of River Forest. So, and that's why I think, I think both issues fail here. To cut this to the quick, because it's 8:35 right now, and my dog's getting antsy. But that's, I'm just trying to look at this, from all sides and look at this. And at this point, there's nothing to do except to maybe, which is help Gail and Forrest by removing the no turn on Keystone twice a day to offset some of the additional traffic that went to other parts of the village, because Keystone had an advocate as a trustee who decided to put that sign in, unbeknownst to us. It's there. We didn't vote for it, but it's there nonetheless. So that's my humble two cents.
And Doug, just to follow up on that, a lot of the traffic to Good Earth only happens on specific times of the season. I agree, we don't want to disturb their business. It's a local business, so we want to support them. But it's during Christmas. It's the early fall. It's the springtime. Do we want to cause a bottleneck of traffic by allowing this open parking, because five, maybe six times a year, there's going to be heavy traffic there for purchase? Rest of the time, as I've said, there's enough parking. I guess I agree with John that when you have the Christmas trees coming out, it's easier for them to wrap it up and let you load it by that side door rather than have you drag it all the way to the other side of the parking lot. And I guess when you buy other pots or bigger plants, it might be easier. Yeah. But then again, a lot of people, it's still foot traffic. They park their cars and then they walk up there and then grab it. So it now comes to a discussion whether that traffic being affected is critical for the business. Is that going to have them not come there because now they can't stop their cars there to get their Christmas tree? Or how much are we disturbing the residents? It is kind of a, I don't know what the right answer is, but that's something to keep in mind. But I'm totally in for the condo association to have their ability to park, because sometimes it's not fair that they own as much as we own, and it's just fair that they get a chance to park. But if there's a truck there, like you see the pictures which are in the documentation we got, and then there's three cars in front of the truck, and then there's cars on this side, then this just makes it impossible to get in and out. And there's, as he said, there are children too, and you don't want them darting in and out of that location. So some kind of parking restriction, in my opinion, needs to be done. I just don't know the right answer.
All right, let me make a suggestion. This won't necessarily cut off discussion, but I think we ought to break this down at this point into the two issues. And there may be a third issue there that John mentioned. So one is there anyone on the commission who wants to make a motion to support the idea of a no entry on Keystone? All right, not hearing any support for that. John, do you want to make a motion with respect to removing the no left turn onto Keystone, or do you want to wait for another day for that?
Oh, no, I think they would really appreciate hearing from me upstairs, absolutely. I would definitely make a motion to remove that prohibitive sign onto Keystone.
Is there a second to that motion? All right, I'll second that motion.
It's going to go away.
Let's have a vote. Let's have first any discussion of that before we vote on it.
I don't think that was part of this application at all. I think this is something else being brought up and being added to the situation. That was not even part of the petition. I don't know why we're taking, that's like me saying, I don't like a stop sign on Washington. I'd like that removed now because I didn't vote for it and the commission upstairs voted for it. What does that got to do with this discussion?
Thank you.
Well, I mean, John, would you be in favor of a friendly amendment or putting that on the agenda for a future meeting?
Oh, I didn't expect it to pass, but at least it'll go upstairs. We have letters in our possession right now because of the issue on Keystone that traffic is being added to Gale and Forest. So yeah, this is an issue. I agree with Arun as well. It's not an issue, and removing something probably isn't the way to go, but for certain, you know, taking that hourly prohibition and somehow all of a sudden now it's 24/7, 365 is ridiculous for residents, for business owners, for people that need to go from Madison North. It can't happen. Keystone can't get, how they got the prohibition to begin with, I don't know. And now they're asking for more. And they shouldn't get it because it's screwing things up. And these little chips, the chip away happening at the armor here with, you know, pretty soon, are we going to shut down both sides of their street and nobody travels on Keystone at all?
Well, John, this is Doug. Are you willing to take an amendment and table that motion and put that on the agenda for a future meeting so that notice could go out to the area if we want to entertain a serious suggestion about asking the village to remove that no left turn sign?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we do that and put that on a future agenda item and see if there's interest in addressing that issue in the future. Let's
do I need to make a motion for that or an amendment or what do I need to do anything procedurally, Doug? Or
well, I don't personally think that you have to make any motion other than we could, like any other member of the public, I would think we could ask for that to be on the agenda for a future meeting.
Okay. So Jeff, obviously you've been listening intently. We'll put this in your rear view and you can handle this.
Yeah, we'll put it in the queue and I'll paper that up on a future agenda.
All right. That and now let's turn to the issue of parking. And that is there a motion, anybody would like to make a motion for any additional either signage or additional parking restrictions at this time at the south end of Keystone, at Keystone and Madison?
I'd like to make a motion to make it resident only parking for at least a certain time point during heavy traffic, which could be the mornings and evenings. I know there's a time limited thing and Jeff might be able to answer that. I agree with John, we can't just block traffic from coming in, but at least resident only parking during peak traffic time would help people at least get the cars in and out through.
Arun, respectfully, I think we need somebody from Good Earth to represent that before we do anything over there, because we're essentially, or maybe limit your motion to restricting on the other side, perhaps on the west side.
That limits Annette from that'll not limit her from parking, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. That won't limit her from parking. Okay.
Well, there's already a probably 25 feet in, there's already no parking here, the corner sign as well as the hydrant. And then if we did resident only on the left, I'm sorry, on the west side, but with regard to the loading zone, I'll just call it a loading zone, but I guess it's a 2-hour parking strip for the Good Earth. I really think that we need additional input to affect that side of the street before we do anything, because I don't run the business there. They have to be involved because that's.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. In all fairness, she did get the petition and she sent an email about what she felt about it. So given that it is a local business, maybe, I don't know, Jeff, can we put it on the next agenda so that she gets another chance to come in and comment on it so that we don't be unfair to her. I'm assuming it's a her.
Yes.
May I make a suggestion here? I mean, it was on the agenda and everyone got notice of this. And we did read the Girder's comments, you know. But if we were to, let's say we were to keep the 2-hour parking in its current spot. So that's on the east side up to the driveway of that first house. And then the rest of the block all the way up to, I'm sorry, what's the cross street heading north?
Vine.
So on the east side and west side, you could make it residential parking only, which would give the residents what they're looking for. It gives Good Earth the existing parking that was probably part of the original development when they built that thing 20 plus years ago. And it also gives the condo people what they need. So, I know, Rune, you've got a motion out there.
No, I'm happy to take it out. I'm just saying that we have to be fair to John's request, Annette's request, Good Earth. How do you keep it fair to everybody is what I'm trying to do.
Throw this one out then as an amendment. So it could be resident parking only, you know, we'll just say 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, right? I'm just gonna throw it out there. On the east side from the 2-hour parking sign up to Vine, and on the west side on the, from Vine down to Madison.
No question, are we certain that they're requesting a resident?
Yes,
resident only, because there are some downsides for resident only parking.
Other John, the person who put the petition, do you have any comments? He seems to be nodding his head. We want to make sure, what is he requesting?
Yeah.
The no parking, the 2-hour parking sign that's there right now is weekdays only, Monday through Friday. And it doesn't eliminate any truck parking. And there is no enforcement. So, you know, you can leave that there for all you want. Nothing is going to change. And adding more parking restrictions along Keystone solves nothing. It only causes more problems. The desire is to have, excuse me, Annette, can I finish? Since you called me a liar before, I'd prefer to finish my comments and then you can talk.
I'm listening.
The whole issue is the traffic problems caused by parking along the side of Good Earth, especially the semis, which oftentimes block the driveway of the first house north of Good Earth. So if you're not going to eliminate that congestion there, then there's no reason to make any changes. That's where the safety is.
I agree. And that business has been there for a very long time, and they need access to that half of their business. So I agree with Mr. Kami on that issue. Absolutely. We're not going to get rid of the congestion. There are going to be trucks there. So don't change anything.
I mean, to John's point about the loading zone, could it be designated a loading zone in the true sense that no cars will park there at certain hours and it's only for trucks to make their deliveries? And so you don't have, like in some of those pictures where you've got cars parked and a truck trying to squeeze into a spot that it's too big for and blocking the street, you make it a true loading zone for deliveries for certain hours, and you let, I don't know if the village has this kind of, you know, ability to kind of encourage the business to take deliveries during a certain window. I don't know. But, you know, does that?
I mean, I like that idea. I think making it a loading zone only and limiting it from only trucks at least prevents, I'm sure they're not parking those semis 24/7. Mr. Kami, you might comment on that. So at least that prevents the need for others to park there, because as I said, there's enough parking for Good Earth on their own parking lot. I mean, I walk there all the time. There's empty spots. So they can probably park there, but then that doesn't limit the delivery trucks from not being able to deliver the goods needed to that. By that limit, at least them from not being in a restricted position. That seems to be like a nice compromise.
So if we were to do a no parking loading zone only, I just want to be clear that at least as I hear that, I don't know that that would prevent a customer from pulling up, throwing the back of the SUV open and using that as a loading zone. And maybe that's okay. I mean, that I just, if we're going to say no parking, loading zone only, say from here to corner, that may be a solution that doesn't solve all the problems, but it may solve some of the major problems. I get it that there is frustration when there's a semi there, but it's obviously worse if there's a car there in the semi or somebody is trying to double park in the street. But is there sentiment in favor of at least on that west side, you know, adding additional signage that would be no parking loading zone only?
That'd be on the east side.
On the east side.
Yeah, and right. Is there any way we can say that violators will be fined or something like that, make it a little more dramatic? Because I guess if you just say loading zone only, people can still park and walk away and enforcement might not be strong is a concern. Is that a stronger sign we can put there? I don't know. Jeff?
Do we have this situation in other places in the village that you can kind of copy and paste?
In front of the village hall, right?
From a delivery standpoint, not really. I mean, this is not unlike the issue we ran into up on the 1500 block of Ashland a few years ago with Loyola.
Right.
And so in this particular case, I also sent a letter to the greenhouse in June of this year after Mr. Conmee had first reached out to us, trying to kind of ask them, because the idea, and Mr. Conmee, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think some of, anecdotally, the thought was that a lot of those passenger vehicles that parked out there may have been employees or the owner of the business kind of parking on Keystone to free up the lot, which again is very similar to what we were kind of anecdotally hearing about Loyola up north. So I had sent a letter, same thing we did with Loyola. Hey, can you please kind of keep all the vehicles into the lot as much as possible? This is the problem that we're having. We'd like to avoid parking restrictions, but you know, here's where we are. I don't know what that changed, if that changed anything, if that made a difference.
No.
You know, here we are having the conversation anyway, so I guess it's moot. To answer your question, Commissioner Jayaraman, we don't, you know, we have no stopping, standing, or parking signs. You know, anything more threatening isn't really going to be consistent with anything else we have in the village, to my knowledge. I don't know of any other signs that we have elsewhere that try to be more intimidating and get the point across any more than the no stopping, standing, or parking signs.
You guys, let me just, I'm just reading the petition on the no parking, stopping, or standing. I mean, I think without Good Earth being here talking to us, we really shouldn't do anything. And the petition says, you know, no parking, stopping or standing, 100 feet on the east side and 50 feet on the west side. So my suggestion is both issues fail. And then if we want input, or if we want to let Good Earth know that, hey, we have an issue, you know, I just think we need input from them. But the petitions as they stand, they both fail. And maybe we should just procedurally be done with these petitions. And then maybe, like we do, like we've done many times, try to think and get some input from the Good Earth, importantly, the Good Earth, on what to do with that stretch of 100 feet. Because they have 100 feet. If, like Doug or Arun, if we do a loading zone, maybe they're going to love it. Maybe they're not going to like it, because they're going to say, well, we have to have our clients pick stuff up, which a loading zone would allow somebody to pick up plants and the like from the west side of the building. So I'm thinking a loading zone might be appropriate, but we need input from the business owners themselves. But as we look at these petitions, we move forward and just, you know, make moot the petitions. They fail, and we take it from there. Live to fight another day.
You know, John, with all due respect, the Good Earth knew this meeting was going on tonight.
I agree.
They're good neighbors. Right. They're very nice people. She sent her letter out. She could have had a representative here tonight. So I don't think we should delay anything for them, because she knew about this meeting.
Okay, well, then the petitions fail, and then I think somebody smarter than me should make a motion to do something on the east side of the street for the 100 feet that borders the Good Earth property. I think that's a great idea. I really do.
And I'm just going to ask this one other question to Mr. Comey. You had mentioned earlier about the parking of the employees from Good Earth. If we do this no parking, no standing, we're just moving them up more into the neighborhood as opposed to somewhere else, correct?
Well, I'm five houses north of Good Earth. And I really don't care if they come and park down the street. The issue is that with traffic coming to Madison and trying to turn, and traffic trying to turn off of Madison, with all the parking there on both sides, it's a traffic hazard.
So the parking issue is less of a concern for you than the congestion down at the end.
Right, right. And okay. It all started because that's where all the employees were parking. Numerous residents asked them to please stop, use your lot, park on Madison, and were not well received. And so that's why people came to me, because I'm the senior citizen. And also they figured it would be good for me to get out and walk around with a petition to rehab my broken hip. So that's why I'm the lucky one. And Annette, my taxes last year were $17,900.
Okay, well,
I spent 15 minutes discussing what it was. I drew you a diagram and you had no problem with it. And you even directed me to other residents of the condominiums that you thought would be more than willing to sign it. So I don't know what happened to your understanding of it between then and
there now. Must have been a miscommunication. Mm-hmm. As I understood it, okay. It only had to do with traffic flow, not parking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd like to just comment for the record, it kind of goes back to Kim Hoyt's comment, and that is, given there have been some comments about the owner of Good Earth, the email from the owner, as I read it, opposed both the restriction, the proposed restriction to stop people from entering Keystone, but also it opposed the restrictions on parking on Keystone as well. It says, in addition, if street parking is restricted, such restriction will further impact negatively Good Earth's business and will push more traffic, parking onto Forest Avenue, Gale, Vine, et cetera. I guess what I've heard, one proposal that I think Rick kind of started and I expanded on, which is the possibility of considering making that section on the east side of Keystone at the bottom, no parking, loading zone only.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's support at this point.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Are you going to put a time limit on it? I mean, it's not going to be all the time, right? Or is it going to be all the time? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, I wasn't actually making a formal motion, but I was floating that idea. And if there is a desire to do that, I think we could fashion it into a motion that to do that, maybe during some appropriate hour, if and we could see if there's a second for that and if we're in support of that concept.
Yeah, I would second that if, Doug, if you want to put in a motion. And I'm happy to support something which has restricted time points also, so that the business doesn't feel too restricted by this, that at least during peak hours, which is, I'm guessing, 9 to 11 and 4 to 6 or something like that, or 5 to 7 or something like
that. You're talking about the loading zone or room?
Yeah, so the rest of the time it can be open to all, or we can put a loading zone limit time on it, right? Loading zone only at a specific time point. So then, John, they won't, then at least rest of the times so anybody can park, but during traffic of people going north and south on Keystone, if there's a loading zone restriction, then others won't park, which is similar we've done in other places, right? If, let's say, the loading zone restrictions at 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock, if you work there, you can't park when you come into work because there's a loading zone restriction, like how we did it for the train station.
Yeah, no, I when Rick, Mr. Gillis made his point, I agree with him and I agree with what you're saying, but if we're going to get into times, then we definitely have to have input from the Good Earth. Otherwise, we make a motion, which I would agree to, make a motion to make that a loading zone for the whole 100 feet, loading zone only, and we can do that tonight. But if we're going to put time limits on the loading zone, and then every I don't know when they get their stuff dropped off. We have no idea. So are we going to hamstring a business owner by thinking for them, or do we just make it vanilla, give them a loading zone, And we're doing the loading zone, not because we're thinking for them, we're doing the loading zone in order to offset some traffic, some congestion. So a loading zone, go in there, pick up your plant. The truck drives in, drops his stuff off. This eases congestion, traffic and safety. That's our commission here. I get that, but so with a vanilla general motion to make that a loading zone, I think that's the way to go, unless we get input from the business owner themselves.
Well, Rick, about the owner had ample notice that this meeting was going on, didn't feel it was important enough to attend or send someone, but instead wrote an email. Our recommendations are not binding. If they feel so inclined that they disagree with the motion, they can go to the board meeting.
That's true.
Trying to sway the board.
Yeah, that's what I agree with Steve. That's what I was going to suggest is that, you know, I'm not trying to throw shade at the owner of the Good Earth. I mean, there may be good reasons why they couldn't come, but they did send an email at least. And so if we were to vote and accept a motion to make that, say the 100 feet, first 100 feet on the east side of Keystone, no parking, loading zone only, we could either do that now and they would get notice and could go to the village board if they want to oppose it. Or the other choice would be that we let them know that that's a request that we're going to consider at the next meeting.
Can I just ask one question, just a clarification? Right now, sure. That 100 feet is a 2-hour parking zone. Is that correct?
Not the full, like the southernmost 20 feet is a no parking zone, but the rest of that is 2-hour parking, correct?
Monday through Friday.
Correct, excuse me, yes.
So the proposal is to make the entire 100 feet loading zone.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And what I'm floating is, is there sentiment to consider that motion tonight, or would there be, is it preferred that we let them and the neighbors know that that's something we're considering and put it on the agenda for the next meeting?
I mean, I would personally second that if there's going to be a motion, because as you mentioned, this is not going to make their life worse. They're still going to have that whole area for loading for both their patrons and their staff to load stuff, but it also reduces the congestion. And again, as you mentioned, if they're not happy about it, they can always go to the main village board meeting and argue their case. If one of the commissioners strongly feel that's not fair, I'm happy to also push it to the next meeting and give them another chance to come about it. That's fine by me also.
Does anybody have an idea for what the motion may be? If you're going to put time limits on it, I agree with
you. And I could make the motion and we can decide if we want to. I'll make a motion and see if there's a second and discussion. The motion would be that the first 100 feet of the east side of Keystone would be designated no parking, loading zone only.
I second that.
Monday through Friday.
Okay, yeah, I would second that.
If I can, please don't limit it to Monday through Friday, because the biggest congestion is the weekends.
I'll entertain that friendly amendment and just say this area, the 100 feet on the east side of Keystone, is designated no parking, loading zone only.
And
is there a second to that motion?
I'll yes. Second it.
All right, any further discussion of that motion before we vote on it?
Sorry, just one question. The 100 feet, is that the entire amount of the frontage for the Good Earth, or is it a little bit less or a little bit more?
Good question, Kim. My understanding is it's approximately the width of the Good Earth property that's shown on the graphic that Jeff provided us. Jeff, can you clarify that?
That's correct. That property is about 100 feet from north to south. So to answer your question, Commissioner Hoyt, that southernmost 20 feet of this 100 feet would still be no parking, and then you would have 80 feet of loading zone north of that.
And it's unless
you wanted a full 100 feet, in which case you would just be from 20 feet up to 120 feet.
No, I'm suggesting that, you know, the first 20 are already no parking. So it's 100 feet from whatever the sidewalk or the corner north, which is basically adjacent to the Good Earth's current property border, that 100 feet total would be no parking and it would, you know, be allowed to be used as a loading zone.
Can I just add one thing? I mean, they're open 7 days a week, 9 to 5, except for Sunday, 10 to 5. Do you want to put any sort of time restriction on it so people having a party at night on a Saturday when the business is closed can still feel free to park there? Because after 5 o'clock, I don't think it becomes an issue. That's just a thought.
For what it's worth, the other loading zones in the ordinance, there are only there's a handful of them, but the majority of them are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And one of them is 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. But there are the three others are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. for what
they're worth. Okay, that'd be fine if they get deliveries before the place opens or but it just doesn't keep that completely as not parking. Like I said, Saturday night, you're having a party and no park there.
Right. So an amendment would be to restrict it. No parking, loading zone only, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Just as a note, the only time that's used for parking in the evening is when there's the Forest Park festivities in the Grove, and Keystone is parked.
It is mobbed.
From corner to corner. So to my mind, it would just be simpler to make it no parking loading zone and leave it at that.
You know, I'm going to agree with that only because when you look at it, I'm looking at Google Maps right now. We're talking really just one parking spot here. Anyway, because you've got the driveway in the middle and then you've got that no parking zone because of, you know, towards Madison there. So you're only losing a single spot if you were to put restrictive hours on it.
So
Rick, we're trying to eliminate congestion as well. So
yeah,
I'm just thinking if this thing's a loading zone, it's going to eliminate congestion because nobody's going to park there. I mean, most people probably will still park there, but at least in our minds, we're going to think that nobody's parking there after hours.
So is the suggestion, Rick, to not include the hour restriction?
Driveway. That would be my suggestion, yes. Park
right here. Because I don't want. I can live with that, Doug.
I do. All right. We'll accept that amendment. And the motion is, and so just for the record too, there is already, the first 20 feet is already no parking. There's already a driveway. So now what we're doing is we're basically saying that the first 100 feet on the east side of Keystone is, we're proposing that it be designated no parking loading zone only, period.
I'll second the motion.
All right, any further discussion of that motion? All right, let's vote on it.
Chairman Reese.
Here, yes.
Commissioner Bate.
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Commissioner J. Robin.
Yes.
Commissioner Osga.
Yes.
Commissioner Wade.
Yes.
All right, thank you. To John and Annette and others who may be interested in this, as you picked up, I think, from the meeting, our recommendation. They go to the village board, and Jeff, is that correct that this would have to be accepted by the village board?
Yes, sorry, you cut in a little bit there, but yes, to your point, I'm sure you just said that this is a non-binding recommendation to the village board. This would then be papered up for the next board meeting. I don't recall when it, I don't know if that's the 30th of the month or if we're pushing into December 14th, I think at this point, it's one of those two dates, but this would be papered up as a non-binding recommendation to the village board at their next meeting.
All right. I was getting an internet unstable note, but yes. So to those folks in the neighborhood who are affected, you have an opportunity to go say your piece at the village board if you want to be heard on this. Okay. They're the ones who get to call the final shot.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let me ask.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, John. Let me ask you. So it's 9 o'clock. We put off the issue. It sounds like that Mr. Esposito raised with respect to the crosswalk. Is that being handled separately? Where it sounds like there's going to be maybe at least consideration of a crosswalk at the Metra entrance. But is that something we don't need to take up tonight?
Certainly don't need to take it up tonight. He had requested a crosswalk at the corner of. Oh, I hope I don't die here. He had requested the crosswalk. Staff started talking about it, and we decided it, would be better served due to the structure of the intersection itself and the proximity to the train station that it might be best served to just move that crosswalk right over to where the tunnel kind of spits out. Further away from a dangerous intersection, serves more people coming out of the train station. So I spoke with Mr. Esposito last week, explained to him that that's what was going to be proposed, and he did not take any issue with that. He was still in favor of that kind of modified request, if you will.
Would you need a recommendation or a motion from us to support that?
I would, if you are all in favor of that, or if you have any discussion on it, I'd request that discussion just take place here tonight, or if you want to table it, that's fine. But I would just ask that you guys make a formal motion at some point on that before we proceed with that, because it is.
Well, I think we could address that pretty quickly, but why don't I just see, and we can always have a discussion after there's a motion that's made and seconded, if we're being hardcore here. Is there a motion to support putting a crosswalk across Hawthorne at the entrance to the Metra station? Is there any support for that motion?
Yes.
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 I have a question. I just have a quick question, but we can get to that later, I guess.
All right. Well, let's make and second the motion, and then we can discuss it, John, unless you want to suggest any amendment to that motion, which would be to, we can decide who's formally making it, but it's to basically to put a crosswalk, to stripe a crosswalk across Hawthorne at the entrance to the Metra station.
I would second that.
All right. Somebody other than me want to make that motion?
Yes, I can make it. Oh, go ahead, Kim.
We'll give it to Kim.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I can see that crosswalk from my house, I'm more than happy to make that.
All right. Thank you, Kim. And who seconded that?
John did.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
We lost our friend Jeff for a moment, but is there any, is there any discussion about that, or we could probably take a vote on that?
Hey, Doug, can I ask one quick question? The red on the picture on the south side of Hawthorne for the whole block there, is that a no parking, no standing, no stopping zone now? What is that? I guess I didn't read that deep into this letter.
I believe
that's correct.
Yeah, I think, as a technical matter, I think occasionally, especially now with train traffic way low, occasionally you might see somebody idle there to pick someone up from the train, for a short period of time. But I think otherwise it's no parking. And at least from what I've observed, and Kim lives closer than I, but we're both in that area, I don't think there's a problem with respect to parking on the south side of the street. It's generally nobody's parking there. And then on the north, along the north side, it's paid parking, permit parking.
Yeah. Okay, so there would just go signs would go up saying that there's no parking on the south side of the street.
They may already be there.
Okay.
You know what? I'm looking at it. The sign is no parking. Whoops, I just lost it. It is no parking 6A to 2P, Monday to Friday.
Along the south side?
Yes.
So Jeff,
crosswalk would essentially change that.
Jeff, we got all kinds of work done while you were gone.
Good, I'll leave more often.
Kim Hoyt made a motion to install a stop sign across Hawthorne at the lining up with the entrance to the metro station, and John Osga, I think it was John, seconded that.
Not a stop sign. Was it a stop sign?
Did I say stop sign?
Yeah, I was like, no, not a stop sign.
Oh, across, I thought you were joking there.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
A crosswalk, just to see if you guys are listening still. And I think, and then there was a question raised about the current restriction along the south side of Hawthorne, and Rick was just looking at a map, thinking that it's no parking right now. From what, Rick, what were the hours that you
6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Rick, what are you looking at, just so I am aware?
Oh, Google Maps.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, hey guys, it says here on the letter, the parking restriction on the south side of Hawthorne Avenue between Gale Avenue and the alley to the west, it is recommended by staff that change to no stopping, standing, or parking. So I guess that would be not 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. It would be the whole time, which I'm fine with that as well.
Well, the idea there, just to clarify, was that obviously we would have a lot of people crossing the street at this point. There's a lot of folks that stop there to pick up somebody coming off the train. So if we were going to put a crosswalk there, we wanted to kind of clear that area visually as much as possible.
Agreed.
Okay. Do you see those as two separate motions, Jeff, or one combined?
No, I mean, if you guys want to split it up, if some of you are on the fence about one or the other, you can certainly split them up. If the general consensus is for support of both or against both, you can certainly wrap those together and just kind of make a motion on the recommendation before you. Well, but
Kim,
it gets easier to split them. That's right.
Kim, do you want to amend your motion to include not only a crosswalk, but also no stopping, no parking, standing, et cetera, along the south side of Hawthorne, or not?
I don't, only because I think if we were going to add that, we need to ensure that the neighbors have an option to give an opinion on that, because I don't think the person that lives there would agree with that, and we might want to allow them to give an opinion if that wasn't on the agenda. So what was specifically on the agenda to discuss today? Was it just a crosswalk, or was it both?
It was kind of a package deal. The crosswalk and the no parking restriction.
Along with flashing crosswalk signage.
Fair. But it was on the no stopping, standing, or parking was recommended as part of the item number 7 memo in the packet. And then the two residents on the south side of Hawthorne between Thatcher and Gale both received notification postcards about this meeting.
Well, Kim, in fairness to you, maybe we ought to break it up, but I understand what you're saying, and maybe I understand the rationale behind having one. It sounds like I'm not hearing any objection to the idea of the crosswalk, and then at least we can discuss that, but is there any, do we want to have any discussion about further restricting at this meeting, recommending a further restriction of the parking that would be around that crosswalk? Because I hear the problem you're saying is you're going to have a crosswalk, and then you could have a car either right in the middle of the crosswalk or immediately adjacent to the crosswalk if people are waiting there idling to pick up somebody from the train.
Exactly.
And it makes sense that if we ever do get back to normal and people are returning home between the hours of 4 and 7 p.m., the current restrictions would kind of be moot because they end at 2, but the crosswalk during the busy exodus from the train would almost necessitate, or at least ask for that, you have that view from that side of Hawthorne. I think Jeff said it best that it's open. So there's no car blocking somebody that's about to use the crosswalk.
The real concern was eastbound Hawthorne traffic. As you're coming eastbound around the curve on Thatcher, you don't have to stop. So if you're going to continue east, there is no stop for that vehicle. And then if you've got cars parked along that south curb there, that could get a little dicey.
Kim, do you want to withdraw your motion? Let somebody else make it?
Yes, I do. But just looking at, and help me out here, guys, looking at the agenda number 7 just says to install a north-south crosswalk. So if someone were to look to see what we were discussing.
So scroll down, Kim, to the actual memorandum, number 7. And then it has a picture of the part of the no parking zone as well as the crosswalk. It's page 45 of 50.
Yeah. So it says the issue is the crosswalk, right? I'm on that page, item number 7, the issue we're addressing is the installation of a crosswalk.
Yep.
Crosswalk installation. It's a memorandum, page 45, I believe. And it says issue analysis and then recommendation along with the attachment, which follows.
Right.
So in the analysis, it goes into the 3 issues that we're talking about, which is the actual crosswalk, the crosswalk signage. I believe so there's some flashing going on there, as well as the Hawthorne, south side of Hawthorne, then being changed to no stopping, standing, or parking. So all issues are within the analysis of that one page letter on page 44.
And what did you say was sent to all the members at residents at 300 Gale?
Sure. So is typically the case anytime there's a parking restriction, a stop sign restriction, anything like that adjacent to or in the vicinity of a property, we send out notification postcards that kind of try to be as obvious as possible that there's, you know, potential change coming in your area. And that here's the link to the agenda. Here's when the meeting is taking place. You're welcome to, you know, it's a public meeting, and it just kind of provides the details for the meeting, but points them to the agenda packet so that they can look into whatever is being discussed in their particular area.
Okay, so my honest opinion is that I find that, even though I think it may have some validity, I find it really hidden that we're making an opinion about changing it from no parking to no parking, standing, or stopping. So I would like my motion, or we can rephrase it, have it just be the crosswalk at this point.
What if we were to do this, given that it's almost 9:30, that we were, you know, given and also that there's not a lot of Metra traffic right now, is there any opposition to putting this off to a future meeting? You know, because it doesn't sound to me like there's a lot of controversy over the crosswalk itself, but it would clarify that in that block, which is adjacent to the Hewlins house, which is one resident that lives there, that there would be no parking along that block between the alley and Gale, or no standing, no waiting, where I know that at least when there's normal train traffic, there's usually limited standing, but there is usually some amount of people who park there to pick people up. I'm wondering if we're better to put that off to a future meeting to make sure that people know that that's part of the request.
Good idea.
Any objection to putting that over? Jeff, nope. Doesn't seem like this is time's not of the essence on this one, right?
No, Mr. Esposito had requested a crosswalk. I think he's wheelchair bound, so he was trying to get something moving. But if, you know, if you want to table
it. Is Mr. Esposito the gentleman on the corner?
He's at Thatcher and Hawthorne, yes.
Yeah, okay. Way back when, there was an effort to make his house a parking lot. I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember that.
I remember that.
Okay, well.
Can we do a crosswalk and save a later meeting to be whether we change the signage on that side of the street?
Yeah, certainly your call is Chairman pointed out before, I mean, certainly all this is a non-binding recommendation. So if that's your recommendation to the board, you know, they, you can, you know, you could also vote to install the crosswalk, but to not have it actually physically installed until you all have a chance to discuss the actual parking restriction too.
Well, either one, with this crosswalk, you're going to have to do some engineering because of the, you need to do a cutout on the south side, correct?
Correct.
So would you do that this fall or would you save that till springtime? As well as striping?
Yeah, it's a fair point. We probably wouldn't be doing the concrete work until spring.
So maybe we postpone this to our next meeting, which would still give you time for planning in 2021.
Certainly.
I've heard other people that live south who get off the train. You know, there's been support for the crosswalk over time. It just never really been formalized. I guess I'd be in favor of, you know, letting Mr. Esposito know that there's support for the crosswalk. But I think in fairness to the neighbors that live there, we want to make sure that people understand that we're likely to also to consider restricting parking along that stretch of Hawthorne. And so we'd like to put this on the agenda for the next meeting.
And also for the neighbors, just a point, we're talking about the flashing crosswalk signage, which I love. However, the neighbors may not like it as much as they look out their window.
Mrs. Hewlett already has her sign up, her board up. okay.
Her big blockage up.
Any objection to putting this off to the next meeting? All right, Jeff, let's do that if we can.
I will do that just to clarify. I mean, because if I paper this up for January, everybody's getting the same notification postcard. If you all have a different means of communicating this to Ms. Hewlin or anyone else, I would just ask you to kind of clarify that just so that whatever we're doing to notify these folks is aligned with what you're all expecting.
We can, two of us live on that block. We can let.
I will ensure she sees the.
We can let them know.
Postcard, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
So Jeff, one question is, I know we put off before the changes to the safe routes to school. And I know that in the item, I think it may be item agenda, you know, number five or number four, I guess, village staff recommended some particular changes. I guess a question to the commission. Is there desire and energy? Well, first of all, let's leave energy out of it. Is there desire to discuss the five items that the staff recommended with respect to changes? If there's a desire to discuss those, I'd suggest nobody's gonna kill us, that we put that off to the next meeting. If there's general support for accepting the staff recommendations, maybe we can knock this out tonight.
Can I let me just start off here and say I'm in agreement with everything. Way back in the day, the reason we had, and I'm gonna talk about number one right now on Park Avenue, we wanted the emergency vehicles having a straight shot and using Park Avenue to do so. But with the safe to schools and some other reasons, we switched it to stop on Park, which kind of went against what the emergency guys wanted, which was to have a straight shot through. But now there's a four-way at Park and Oak anyway. But the reason I'm in agreement with this whole thing is I don't mind flashing stop signs at all. And also I don't mind switching it the two-way to allow traffic to flow through Park Avenue for the emergency vehicles. That's my only comment.
Thanks, John. Is there any other comment about the staff recommendations?
Well, I'm going to Yeah, let me, I'm just going to go down. I'm looking at my previous notes, so I got to go back and forth a little bit here.
To be clear, Rick, let me cut you off for 1 second. To be clear, these aren't staff recommendations. These are requests that came in from the public since the Safe Routes to School implementation was completed. So these were all requests from residents that came in.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying, Jeff. I had read that too quickly. I see now that those are recommendations to staff, not by staff.
Okay, so I'm just going to start with number one here, which was the Park Avenue. I'm going to disagree with that. I think it should remain the same, because if we don't do that, then it's a further five walk block for the kids. Okay, so if you look at the map where they would have to go to school, that adds five blocks to their walk. Okay. And let's see, north, south, Lemoyne, flashing beacons. So I did all my work before for our August thing, and we postponed it. So I'm working off of that sheet there.
Well, Rick, how much?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm just wondering if there's enough worth discussing. Do we have the energy to discuss it tonight? Do we need to discuss it tonight? I know that Jeff, you know, I'm happy to continue.
Oh yeah, we could postpone it. That's fine with me. It's up to Jeff, I guess.
What's your need for action? Because I know we already put this off once. Would you rather us knock this out?
No, I mean, it's up to you guys. This was just a built-in, with these bigger comprehensive things, we're kind of building in these 12-15 month time frames to revisit it, just to make sure if there's anything that was missed or anything that was new that became a problem, that we've got a means to kind of address it. So there doesn't seem to be anything glaring right now, to be honest with you. If you all decide you want to postpone this to the January meeting, I don't think that's a problem.
Well, Rick, what's your view on that? You have some notes.
Let's postpone it till then. That's fine.
Okay. Any objection to that? All right. And how about, there was the last item in that, I think if we're at the last item, where it looked like the village was looking for some input from us on these devices that are used. And it was really more a request for feedback.
Yeah.
You know, I think so, there's general support for those. Is there more specific feedback you're looking for, or the village is looking for?
And you guys have talked about this as well as the board. What are the tools in the toolbox? These are the ones we currently use. A, if there are additional measures that you all are aware of that you would like to see the village start implementing or at least looking into, let me know. But then B, among these things that I've kind of outlined here, are there ones where, you know, Oak and Clinton, those issues, and Oak and Monroe, those issues that we talked about earlier tonight are kind of a good example. We don't want to use stop signs to control speed. What do we want to use? Where do we want to start that conversation? I think the question that was kind of posed to staff was, we don't seem to have any hierarchy for these things. When somebody comes in with a concern about speed, you know, overall speed on a particular street, we're always starting from scratch. Well, it'd be nice to have a bit of a prioritization where, okay, well, first things first, we're going to get the radar trailers out there as a temporary measure. And then if that warrants, or if that information indicates that something more permanent is warranted, then we'd like to see the, like the pole mounted radar feedback signs that we have on Lathrop and Thatcher. And if that's, you know, if we still look like we're having speed issues, then we're going to start looking at bump outs. But we'd like to try to start building a path, if you will, for when these issues come up, so that we're a little more consistent with what we're applying to mitigate any issues.
Well, again, if we have the energy to discuss these tonight, we could always carry this discussion over. I would say that, at least with respect to a hierarchy, I would probably personally put the bump outs lower for two reasons. One, because they're capital intensive, probably more expensive than the other options. And two, there's a potential conflict with bicycling, where if people are cycling along the, you know, the section and then they're forced out into traffic, I think there's a potential, you know, risk associated with the bump out. But not saying that they're not appropriate in certain places, but I just think that's a consideration that should be made. And then I'll make one more comment and then turn it over to anyone else. In the earlier discussion and one of the memos from the consultant, they referred to so-called temporary speed bumps. And I know ever since I've been on the commission, which is now a long time, there's been not just reluctance, but antagonism towards speed bumps in the village. But I've often thought that it's inevitable that at some point we'll be moving towards some kind of speed control device. And I guess would wonder if there's such a thing as a temporary speed bump, and that's an option to consider. I guess I'd like to consider the pros and cons of that at least being considered in the toolbox. Not to say that that would be top of our list or something that we would use. Maybe we'd be reluctant to use it, but I guess I'd like to at least add that to our mix of things that we could consider and get a little more input on the pros and cons of using a temporary speed bump. I know that when I've heard in the past is that Public Works doesn't like them, particularly in the winter when they're trying to plow the streets. So those are kind of my immediate reactions.
Okay. I
don't know if anybody else wants to comment.
Yeah, you know what, I tend to agree with you. The bump outs, I love them, but of course, as you said, they're very expensive. The temporary speed bumps would be interesting to test out, at least only because does it change people's behaviors? And if we were to go back to Keystone, or Zero Block tonight, if we were to install them there for a while, would people quit going down there for a while and change their behavior? And then you remove them in the fall so the snow plows don't worry about them. It'd be interesting to test out, but that's just my thought. The speed cameras, I love those things. You know, where I am at Keystone and Division, you know, the people are coming south down Thatcher doing about 45. They turn on to Division doing probably 45 as well. And then they hit that first camera. And I love sitting there at the stop sign watching them go from, 40 miles an hour down to 25 because they get hit with that as soon as they, whip around the corner there. So I think that's probably one of the best things we have right now. So, everything you have in here, Jeff, I like. I think they've worked very well for us.
Okay. Does anybody have any opinions on those in street, like the stop here yield to pedestrians within crosswalk? Because those kind of get mixed reviews, to be honest.
I'm not a huge fan. I like the blinking stop signs. I love the pedestrian crossing on the sides, but I could take or leave. You're talking about the green one, correct?
Yeah, that kind of little one that sits in the middle of the roadway.
Yeah, I think those become either targets or, people aren't. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but I do like the blinking stop signs we've been doing, and I love those, the two yellow ones, probably the one in to the left, not the.
Maybe John, the in street one, the green one, should be judiciously used.
Well, I mean, we only have them around school zones right now, but even those sometimes get, like I said, mixed reviews.
I like them around the school zones at the crosswalk where there is a crosswalk person there. I forgot their exact title.
Crossing.
But right. I like those only because they can move them out. It lets people know there's a crossing guard at that spot. And then at the end of the day, they move them back in. But again, as Doug said, I think in certain areas, they do work.
For example, if that's what's being proposed, if I heard correctly on Hawthorne, at least right now, I don't personally think that would be, I get why, people are going to ignore a stop crosswalk. So I guess that's kind of the conundrum you have, is that you have a crosswalk there in the middle of the block. It's not an area where people are normally going to be used to a crosswalk. So absent some other kind of crosswalk sign, or maybe again, like a flasher, like they use on Lake, that's why a sign like this might might, you know, be useful when people aren't really expecting a crosswalk.
Sure. I also like the fact that it reminds people that it is state law. You know, it's not us just saying you should please stop. I think that's a good reminder. I think a lot of people don't remember that.
Sure. Okay. Anybody else have any feedback?
I think you should stop paving the streets. You're making them too smooth. People don't pay a price by driving faster.
Yeah, it would make my life easier.
We need more potholes, Jeff.
So Steve,
I'm on it.
Steve, we lost Mr. Cleary, and now we've got you as the resident.
Oh, wait a minute. Jeff heard all about it. When he was doing that patching, everyone in town was complaining about the holes in the streets.
We still have a resident on the call, so we got to be
careful. Yes. But no, but it's true.
You're all resident. We,
yes.
Yeah. I'm a big jerk, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are there more feedback? Yeah, is there more feedback on these particular devices?
Oh, I mean, I'll take that back and kind of have that conversation internally here. I don't think there's anything more we really needed unless there was strong opinions one way or another on something. I think what you just discussed is sufficient.
Okay, so
I recommend we table 8, Doug. That's a long conversation.
Yeah. And 8's really a request for a study, though, not necessarily. But when, given the hour, is there anything on 8 other than maybe we could put that off to the next one, too? Is my understanding that 8 is whether we're going to request a study?
That is my understanding. This was Commissioner Gillis's suggestion at the last meeting, so I carried it on to this agenda. But yeah, my recollection was the conversation started with the intersections along North Avenue from Lathrop to Harlem, and then on Harlem from North to Division, I believe. And then the conversation kind of started to wander away from those intersections. Do we need to include more or different, you know, different intersections along the perimeter of the village? But that was kind of an internal conversation you guys had started last week or last meeting. So if you folks want to table that, nobody at staff level or residents are requesting that other than you guys.
Well, the question would be, do we want to do a study in the, let me get it right, the northeast quadrant of River Forest? And I guess that would just be a question for the commissioners tonight. Then we get approval budget-wise to do it, correct?
Well, I mean, if you all recommended that the study be done, that would go to the board, obviously, but then we're not budgeting that until fiscal year 22, which starts next May, because we don't have that money in the current fiscal year.
Okay. So we can table it then?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no timeline on a staff perspective on this.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little more color on that. I've missed 2 meetings in 15 years, and Gillis hits us with this. I mean,
Well, you were there for my scooter parking thing, weren't you?
Absolutely. I wouldn't have missed that.
All right. Well, why don't, it sounds like this, you know, has an impact on the budget. It would be in the 22 budget. Why don't we, maybe Jeff, if you don't mind, at the next meeting or one after, but would you maybe be able to give us some information about kind of what the budget impact is? Or, you know, so it's easy for us to sit here and say, let's study a quadrant. You know, maybe, I don't know if there's an option or if there's something where there's kind of, again, a range of choices where there could be a full-on study, or maybe there's something, you know, more modest we could do. And I'm not trying to preclude whatever, you know, Rick is suggesting, but maybe we could have set some time aside to discuss maybe some range of options.
Yeah, I mean, just for a little perspective, when we have the consultant investigate, you know, when somebody comes in and wants a stop sign or a four-way stop, and we have the consultant do a full-fledged study of one intersection, we're typically in the neighborhood of four to 5,000. So if we're, you know, it's not going to be a direct translation, but if we're in the neighborhood of 10 intersections, we could be getting up, you know, 30 to 50,000, somewhere in that range. There's obviously going to be some economy of scale, but I would imagine tens of thousands. And then that's without really having you guys have a discussion about where those limits are. I mean, the intersections identified in the memo were the ones that Rick had identified when he brought the request up. But obviously conversations, you know, might wander. Maybe we want to include something further south down Harlem or further west down North Avenue or something along Madison. We just had a conversation about that tonight. So it's going to be hard to put a number on that specifically when we don't know what scope of work we're really talking about yet.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably merits some, you know, Rick, I mean, do you want to keep this on the agenda for future consideration, or do we want to pull it off and wait and see, you know, if there are particular issues that are raised about this quadrant, you know, before we, and maybe we're able to do something more focused?
Well, this originally started with someone mentioning the Greenfield and the left-hand turn, no left-hand turn from Greenfield onto Harlem. And I know we have some other areas up there with similar issues as far as Harlem goes and or North Avenue. So I think we should be looking at that, at least the outskirts of River Forest in that area at some point, and probably do a full study.
Well, why don't we carry this over and see if we can hone in on what particular things we would want studied and propose to be studied. And then maybe that would allow, you know, Jeff or others to kind of give us some guidance on what's feasible. And, you know, maybe we're aware of kind of the budget impact of that. And maybe there's a way we could narrow the focus, you know, if it's focused on the perimeters like access to the village, or if, you know, there's, rather than necessarily just something as broad as the whole quadrant, but maybe we could focus, you know, what are, if we have particular concerns about that quadrant. All right, okay. So let's put that over. We're going to put over the crosswalk so we can let our friendly neighbors know. And I think that was it, unless we hear from the folks on Oak again, but I think that's it for tonight. Is that, did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it.
All right, Kim?
Shall I be budgeting 2.5 hours for all future?
No.
If we keep tabling everything, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, how about a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Good night, guys.